Dr. Wisk had a conflicting session. Right now she is at the conference, but she is presenting currently right now, so she asked me to present this on her behalf, and if you have any questions, she is around and she would, I'm sure, love to talk to you about her work, which is about the development of a novel objective measure of healthcare-related financial burden for U.S. families. The authors have no conflicts of interest or financial relationships to disclose, but they would like to acknowledge the generous funding received for this project, and as well mentioned that this paper was recently online published at, in the journal Health Services Research and will be coming out in print next month. I'm sure that most, if not everyone in this audience, is well aware of the problem of rising healthcare costs in the United States. We spend more on healthcare than in the United States than any other nation, accounting for 20% of our GDP, and we have one of the highest growth rates of healthcare spending. We are also well aware of many of the negative effects of these high costs. For example, high costs adversely affect healthcare access, and medical bills are the number one cause of personal bankruptcies in the United States. While the causes and consequences of high costs are clearly important, there is an equally important measurement question that has been largely overlooked, and that's specifically how we can create a measure that captures a family's perception of financial stress and worry that is caused by inadequate monetary resources. Much of the research surrounding financial burden relies on a 10% cut point, and this measure was developed using data from 1977 to quantify underinsurance among a privately insured population younger than 65 years of age. This measure and other variations on this measure have been widely used in the literature without any investigation as to whether they are actually capable of capturing financial burden, particularly among different family types and across all levels of income and insurance. To address this methodological gap, there is a need to develop and validate an objective measure of financial burden that can be used for families with children. Moreover, an ideal measure should incorporate both out-of-pocket costs and income, predict and adverse consequences of burdensome costs, be easy to derive and thus end user-friendly, and would be robust against various subgroups. 12 years of data from the National Health Interview Survey, or NHIS, on nearly 150,000 families with children were used to develop this measure. And data from the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey, or MEPS, on just over 18,000 families with children were used to validate the measure. Family income and out-of-pocket healthcare costs, which includes deductibles, copays, et cetera, but not insurance premiums, were used to construct the financial burden measure. All measures of income and costs were summed at the family level and adjusted for inflation to 2010 U.S. dollars. A primary goal for this measure was to predict delayed or foregone health care or unmet health care need due to cost. It's important to note the difference in how these questions were addressed in the NHIS and MEPS. The NHIS directly asked about unmet health need, about unmet need due to cost, while the MEPS first asked if individuals had any unmet need and then asked them to select the primary reason for that unmet need. A primary hypothesis was that there would be a nonlinear additive relationship between income and costs. So Dr. Wisk performed a bivariate spline for income and out-of-pocket costs to generate marginal predicted probabilities of unmet need. She then did a recursive partitioning on these marginal probabilities to identify thresholds in income and cost that would neatly identify different levels of risk of unmet need. Accuracy of this measure and its association with unmet need were then quantified in both NHIS and MEPS to support the measure's validity, and performance of this novel measure was then compared against the most commonly used alternative measure, again, that's the 10% cut point. So these figures depict the spline-based predicted probability of unmet need as a function of cost on the y-axis of the heat maps, and income, which is on the x-axis of the heat maps. The figure on the right is what you would see if you looked down on the figure on the left, but both of these figures show the same information. So as you move from left to right on the x-axis, you're increasing income and decreasing the probability of unmet need. And as you move up on the y-axis, you are increasing cost and increasing the probability of unmet need. The important thing to take away from these figures is that we have a nonlinear interaction effect between costs and income, and the magnitude of the interaction varies by both the level of cost and income. This is actually a lot more intuitive than it might look, as the practical implication is that a family making $40,000 a year and spending $200 on healthcare has a very different implication than a family making $80,000 a year and spending $200 on healthcare. Moreover, a family making $40,000 a year spending 2% of their income on healthcare is also very different than a family making $800,000 a year and spending 2% on care. While the splines better capture the true relationship between cost, income, and unmet need, spline terms aren't always the easiest to use, particularly for policymakers who might be more used to binary variables. So in order to generate a more user-friendly measure, Dr. Wiss performed recursive partitioning on the marginal probabilities as a function of income and relative costs, or costs divided by income, to identify thresholds for different levels of burden. This table shows the results of these models and what someone could use to identify levels of burden. So thinking back to the example from the last slide, a family making $40,000 a year who spends 2% of their income on healthcare would have medium to high burden, while a family making $40,000 a year who spends 2% of their income on healthcare would have high, medium-high burden, while a family making $80,000 a year who also spends $2% on their income on healthcare would have mid to low burden. Another practical consideration for the measure was that different people may want to use this measure differently. For example, if a state wanted to impose new tax credits for out-of-pocket spending but had limited resources to do so, they might want to use a more specific measure, while if they wanted to be more generous, they might want to use a more sensitive measure. Collapsing the novel measure across the various thresholds to create binary measures, yields different sensitivity and specificity for predicting unmet need. So importantly, even using the less generous threshold at high burden, the novel measure is substantially more sensitive than the standard cut point without much loss in sensitivity. Finally, the strong monotonic association between financial burden and unmet need in both the NHIS and MEPS supports the construct validity of the novel measure. While both of the linear trends are significant, there is a slight difference in the magnitude between the two samples. However, this isn't surprising, given the relationship is assessed cross-sectionally in NHIS, while in MEPS, financial burden was measured in year one, and unmet need was measured in year two. So the effect holds up longitudinally as well. Notably, while the standard cut point is associated with increased odds of unmet need in NHIS, this association does not hold up in the MEPS, further suggesting that the novel measure is better able to capture financial burden. There are a few limitations that should be considered. This measure was specifically developed for families with children and may not be generalizable to other family types. However, this measure can be applied across different levels of income and insurance types among families with children. All data from the self-report may be subject to reporting bias. Healthcare costs and use are intrinsically related. And, as previously mentioned, unmet need is assessed differently in NHIS and MEPS. In summary, Dr. Wisk and her colleagues successfully generated and validated a novel objective measure of financial burden. This novel measure appears to be more effective at identifying burdensome costs and predicting unmet need than the standard measure. Importantly, comparing the novel measure against the standard one suggests that the standard measure is subject to differential misclassification that is more severe at lower levels of income. Therefore, relying on the standard measure might introduce unnecessary bias. So Dr. Wisk identified that the novel burden is associated with increases in unmet need, which might adversely affect health, and that high burden likely also negatively affects families' ability to spend resources on other competing needs, which might be further detrimental to the quality of life. There are also several important policy implications. The ACA explicitly outlines maximum out-of-pocket costs, which differ by income. So this figure shows the cost maximum. This figure shows those cost maximums for the four hypothetic families, which were previously described, with two adults and two children, and the real 2010 income, which is listed in parentheses, and how those maximums might increase over time. In all cases, by the time these families hit those high maximums, they would be all classified as experiencing high burden using the novel measure. As such, the novel measure could be useful for designating various subsidies, tax credits, income-based cost sharing, and other policy levels to reduce financial burden and promote healthcare access. Thank you very much.